4:03, we welcome you aboard a Tuesday evening here in Eastern Iowa. You're listening to Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, 102.3, 106.3 FM, 107.5 FM. Let's just give every frequency on the dial. Why the heck not? The Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn, along with our producer Buttons, with you for the next 2 hours as we make our way to 6 o'clock tonight. Iowa State basketball on the horizon as the Cyclones looking to right the ship against the only team in the Big 12 that has yet to pick up a conference win this season. The Oklahoma State Cowboys coming to Hilton Coliseum tonight. We'll have that coming your way on 1600 AM. Fran McCaffrey meeting the media in Iowa City earlier today. The Hawkeyes have a top 25 showdown tomorrow night against Rutgers. Plenty of tickets still remain for that game. We'll get into that coming up in just a little bit. Plus, shortly after 5 o'clock tonight, no, that's not going to be the Hall of Fame announcement, although that is the time. Shortly after 5 o'clock tonight, you have an opportunity via incredibly easy trivia to take home a one-hour session inside Graduate Iowa City's Top Golf Swing Suite. And in honor of the 80th birthday of the Golden Bear, Jack Nicklaus, we'll have some incredibly easy Jack Nicklaus trivia for you. And if you answer the question correctly tonight, that one-hour session inside Graduate's Top Golf Suite is going to be yours. John in Columbus Junction took one off our hands yesterday. The good news is we've still got four more to give away throughout the remainder of the week. Alex, it is baseball. Well, it's not Hall of Fame day. It's Derek Jeter day, right?
Yeah, it is. We knew that this day was going to be coming for him, and it's interesting to see where his life and career has taken him since his playing days, but I don't think there's no doubt that he's going to be inducted in the Hall of Fame. Will it be unanimous? We'll find out. For some reason, that's a huge discussion that goes on. Does he deserve to be unanimous? Does a player deserve to be a first ballot Hall of Famer? Regardless, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. We know that much.
I think my feelings on Derek Jeter are pretty well known throughout the course of being on the air here. I think he's a Hall of Fame player. I just don't think he's as special as some people make him out to be.
I agree 100%, but that's like a culture. For some reason, that's like a cultural unmentionable, where you know it's true,
people
but if you
really
say it,
up.
People get upset.
Put him on any other team in baseball, and I don't think the love is there for Derek Jeter.
Like, was he that much better than, let's say, a Craig Biggio? Was he that much better than some of the other great shortstops that have played the game? No, but he played for the Yankees, and he played for the Yankees for a long time. And he built his brand there, and that's the difference.
Here's my issue with Hall of Fame voting, and we welcome you into the conversation as well. 319-366-1600. That is also in use as the First Federal Credit Union text line. FirstFedCU.com/KGYM is where you can go to get details on how opening a new checking account with First Federal can get you $200. And we appreciate their sponsorship of the text line. The idea that in the course of the Hall of Fame's history, that only one player, and now after tonight, and again, the results will be announced at 5 o'clock, the idea that only two players in history are unanimous Hall of Fame selections, and they're both modern-day New York Yankees, sort of rubs me the wrong way. The fact that the game has had so many amazing players, and yet over the course of time, one voter, three voters, five voters, however many it was, decided that a player like Ken Griffey Jr. or somebody like Tony Gwynn, nah, not unanimous. Hank Aaron, nah, unanimous. Tom Seaver, arguably the greatest right-handed pitcher of all time, nah, unanimous. Mariano Rivera, Derek Jeter, unanimous.
How is Mariano Rivera, like, unanimous? once again, let's go back and say, put the exact caveat that you put out there for Derek Jeter. Great closer. One of the greatest closers of all time, but why did he pass that threshold when so many other greats did not? Why was he the one?
It's a question I don't have the answer to. However, it is fascinating to me as a baseball fan over the course of my adult life to see players like Lee Smith struggle to get into the Hall of Fame, and I was very happy to see the doors finally open for him last year. But over the course of my adult life, I've gone from seeing relievers struggle to get recognition among Hall of Fame voters to Mariano Rivera, unanimous. Change of opinion. Now, Derek Jeter is going to be going into the Hall of Fame this year. The question is, should anybody else that was on this year's ballot go in along with him? Is anybody else going to make it tonight? 319-366-1600. It does not appear to be the case at this point. The ballots that have been made public, and the Baseball Writers Association of America allows writers the opportunity to make their ballots public before the results are announced. Larry Walker is on the threshold. On the threshold to the point where this could be one of the most disappointing evenings in Hall of Fame balloting history. There are people out there predicting that he may fall 4 votes shy, a handful of votes shy, and it's his last year on the ballot.
That's ridiculous.
Now, I have a recency issue, and it's not necessarily bias. It's the opposite. I have a hard time looking at a lot of players from the modern era and recognizing them as Hall of Fame players. I have a tendency to put way too much stock in previous eras. So a guy like Larry Walker, I look at Larry Walker and I say, you know, seems like he was a pretty good ball player, Hall of very good. Is he a Hall of Famer? Maybe not.
Well, if he did exactly what he did in, let's just say, Atlanta or somewhere outside of Colorado, would he be a shoe-in for the Hall of Fame? Is that getting held against him?
The numbers to me in looking at this are there. And I do believe that Larry Walker probably merits a spot in Hall of Fame. He's in a very, and the numbers are amazing here. The numbers are always fun. It's part of the beauty of baseball. You can take numbers and you can sort them and get them to spit out any sort of grouping that you want them to. But only two players in the history of Major League Baseball have hit 300 or more home runs, stolen 200 or more bases, and posted a career OPS of 950 or higher. Neither of them are in the Hall of Fame. One is Barry Bonds, and the other is Larry Walker. When you look at that and you go, okay, he had a 30-30 season. I don't think too many people probably looked at Larry Walker as being a speed demon on the base paths. But in the heart of his career, which just happened to come in Coors Field in Denver, he was one of the best players in the game.
To me, he's a Hall of Famer. To me, the way that he played, he was really good at everything. I understand that offensive numbers are so much for baseball vote Hall of Fame voting. There are magic numbers that you have to get to in some voters' eyes in order to get into the Hall of Fame. Then they'll hold certain things against you, like where you played most of your games in Colorado and the fact that you only played 2 seasons towards the end of your career, and then I think 6 at the beginning of your career outside of Colorado. But that guy, you think about his career and you think about him being a great player, one of the best players in the game, not the best, but one of the best players in the game for over a decade. in Colorado and in Montreal. So to me, he's a Hall of Famer. And I think that eventually I look at a guy like Todd Helton and feel the same way. And he may not get into the Hall of Fame, but those guys were consistently top 10, 15, 20 players in Major League Baseball year in and year out.
319-366-1600. If you'd like to join the conversation, let's take a quick peek at the carnage taking place on the First Federal Credit Union text line. 2665, you guys are Yankee haters. They are the best franchise in all of sports and have the best players. That being said, Hall of Fame voting in baseball is a joke.
David Schulte, is that you? Our friend over at Z102.9 is a huge Yankees fan.
I'm not a Yankee hater.
I have a buddy from high school plays for the Yankees. I'm not exactly the biggest Yankees hater at this point.
If you take Derek Jeter and you put him on any other team in baseball, he's not Derek Jeter.
No. If he gets drafted by the Houston Astros number one overall.
Still a great story. A great story. Hal Newhouser, a Hall of Fame pitcher in his own right. One of the lead scouts for the Houston Astros who had the number one overall pick in the year that Jeter was drafted. I think the 1992 draft, if I remember correctly. Hal Newhouser lobbied and begged the Houston Astros to take Derek Jeter number one. And they wound up drafting Phil Nevin, who was a very accomplished college baseball player, a member of Team USA, very good power-hitting third baseman, had a nice career in the major leagues, didn't have Derek Jeter's career. Those are the stories that, and there are plenty of them out there, scouts that say, this guy's a surefire Hall of Famer, and front office general managers, owners, they think they're smarter than the scouts. They go in a different direction. I had a friend of mine, he's actually the athletic director at Indiana State right now, Sherrard Klinkscales, was a pitcher in the minor leagues with the Kansas City Royals, scouted for a number of years with a couple organizations, including the Braves, and told me the story about two scouts and their diverging opinions on Albert Pujols. And one of them thought that he was going to be a Hall of Famer, and the other one thought he may not even sniff the major leagues. Same player, two completely opposing views.
That has to be one of the most difficult jobs in sports, being an amateur scout.
And for a
baseball
while,
baseball scout, I should say.
He had his scouting report of Albert Pujols framed and hanging in his office as a reminder to him that he was occasionally good at his job because he too had seen Albert Pujols, I think, in the Jayhawk League back in the day, the junior college summer league or whatever it is, and said, "Man, we got to draft this guy if he's available." Albert, who, by the way, just turned 40 years old. Hard to believe that he is that young. And I say that relatively speaking, but it seems like he's been in the major leagues for 30 years. If he was a Yankee, they'd already have a monument to him in Monument Park. Let's go to the phone lines. Cyclone Tim with us tonight, gearing up for that Oklahoma State game tonight. Tim, what's on your mind?
How you guys doing? Couple things. You guys were talking about the way baseball is. My son and I watched a couple movies back-to-back the other night. And we kind of laughed about it. One was the Billy Ball with the analytics and how that all came about. And then you turn around and watch something about the curve with Clint Eastwood in two totally different ways of looking at how a baseball player performs. And it was kind of just funny that we kind of watched that and recognize how hard that job is to be a scout. But anyway, I wanted to talk about Larry Walker. I don't have a problem with Larry Walker being in the Hall of Fame. Yeah, he played at Coors Field, but Coors Field was also accepted by Major League Baseball as a professional baseball team. They knew what they were getting into when they put a team a mile high up. And if the balls go out, I think they did the humidors? Is that what they were called? I can't remember.
Yep.
Where they tried to make it a little bit more realistic in how the balls would not go out. And I don't know. His numbers speak volumes to me, so put him in. I mean, to me, the Hall of Fame is when you take your kids there, you can show somebody, here is Larry Walker, here is, you know, whether you want to put Barry Bonds in or not is a different story for another day, but to me, that's what it's about, personally. So I'll hang up and let you guys talk about it.
All right, Tim, we appreciate it, and good luck to your Cincinnati Reds this year.
It's just amazing to me that in this day and age of how we look at baseball, like Tim brought up, how we look at baseball through the prism of on-base percentage and wins above replacement and taking someone's entire game, everything that they contribute to a baseball team, into account, that Larry Walker is in danger of falling off the ballot. A guy with a career 400 on-base percentage.
Yeah, this is it for him regardless. Now, a guy who may not even get a vote this year, and thus will Paul Konerko. And I never viewed Paul Konerko as, I know Scott Unash is down the hall right now and his ears are perking up anytime I dare mention a White Sox player. I never viewed Paul Konerko as a Hall of Fame player. I thought he was a very good player. But I watched a segment on the MLB Network last night, and I'll be darned if it didn't convince me, hey, this guy probably at least deserves a couple votes. He had a good career, and you put his numbers side by side with some guys who are Hall of Famers. Okay, the idea that the ballot has 10 spots, you can vote for 10 players on each ballot, and some players don't even pick up a single vote from somebody. Now, this year's ballot it's fascinating to me. You've got guys like Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens who they continue to gain support, but incrementally. Sooner or later, you've got to put these guys in my opinion.
You do. I mean, very soon, right? They keep going in the right direction.
My hottest take of all, and I love the debate about Omar Vizquel, because good God, if you're going to go gaga over Derek Jeter, Omar Vizquel may have been head and shoulders above him defensively at that position. But my argument with all of this and any Hall of Fame is you're either a Hall of Famer or you're not. Why are we debating the merits of somebody 14 years later and asking, are they a Hall of Famer? That to me is a little troublesome with the concept. You're either one of the elite players in the game or you're not. So the first ballot, Derek Jeter, absolutely. He's a Hall of Fame player. But why is it that it's taken us years and years and years to look at some players, and I'll leave Bonds and Clemens out, the steroid issues here, but a guy like Curt Schilling, some people think that Curt Schilling has a shot at getting in this year. It doesn't look like that's going to be the case. He's also falling below the threshold. There are a lot of projections out there, and the problem with the public ballots, the ones that we know, history tells us that the final percentages are almost always lower than what we know. And as of right now, it doesn't look like Walker and Schilling are getting in, and that's with the ballots that we know. The assumption is that the ballots that are still private are either status quo or even worse off for some of those guys. So it's going to be a class of one. I disagree with guys like Peter Gammons who say that Derek Jeter is so special that he deserves to go in by himself, which, by the way, he's not going in by himself because Marvin Miller and Ted Simmons are getting in
this year. I just don't get the special treatment for that guy. I don't get it. He is a great player. He deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. I will leave it at that. Is that not enough of a tribute to someone's career? That we had, like, the whole victory lap thing that he took, the whole final season, it's just, I've never understood it.
Well, those kill me anyway, and I'm not gonna bang Jeter on that, but anytime somebody gives themselves a farewell tour, where you're picking up the rocking chair and...
Like, they were wearing number 2 decals on the back of his helmet like he died or something. He's retiring. It's just weird. I just don't understand. I do understand. He played for the New York Yankees. He was a captain of the New York Yankees. He was a great player for the New York Yankees and won multiple world championships. And if I've learned anything about how people evaluate quarterbacks in the NFL, it's not like people are digging deep on numbers. They want to know the base level. Did you play for a great franchise? Did you win championships? He fits those criteria, so he's seen as he's seen as one of the greatest ambassadors to the game that there could be, and he didn't. He wasn't in the headlines all the time.
He's a little bit of a compiler, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. But that phrase carries with it negative connotations. And what's funny is people oftentimes will look the other way when they have a player that they support who's compiled statistics over two decades, and then they'll gladly break that glass in case of emergency to use the compiler argument against somebody that they don't like. Now, again, in my opinion, you either are a Hall of Famer or you're not. And a guy like Burt Blyleven's in the Hall of Fame. I viewed Burt Blyleven as a Hall of Fame caliber player, but they dragged that on and kept him out, and they kept him out. Ron Santo was a Hall of Fame caliber player, in my opinion. Didn't even get to enjoy it while he was alive. Lee Smith, I'm all for, baseball's my sport, I'm all for a more inclusive Hall of Fame. If it's going to be the Hall of Very Good, let's go ahead and make it the Hall of Very Good. Put some of these guys that are on the ballot who are probably not going to get in, go ahead and put them in. Let's make it the Hall of Very Good. But I'm tired of this in his 11th year on the ballot, 12th year on the ballot. Well, if you're not getting the vote in 12 years, maybe you weren't a Hall of Fame player. 319-366-1600, other intriguing names that most certainly will not be getting inducted tonight when the results are announced. Gary Sheffield, Sammy Sosa, Billy Wagner, also on the ballot once again this year. We mentioned Paul Konerko. Andrew Jones. A lot of people, especially younger crowd, view Andrew Jones as a guy that you could make a case for.
I was going to say...
Not a very good one.
I know he's a much better offensive player than Omar Vizquel was, but sort of in that same mold where he was known more for his defense. And is there going to be a stretch where we see those types of players get into the Hall of Fame? We've seen them in the past. Ozzie Smith comes to mind. But like you said with Omar Vizquel, I think of that guy during his career, just alone the way he played defense as a Hall of Famer.
And there are always a couple names on the ballot every year that just make you smile because you remember how good but not great those players are. Heath Bell had a couple years where he was a fairly dominant closer, if I remember right, with the Diamondbacks and the Padres, among other teams. Sean Figgins is a member of the Angels, kind of a Swiss Army knife of a player. Carlos Pena. Guys that probably aren't even going to pick up a single vote.
Former Chicago Cub, Carlos
Briefly.
Pena.
He's going to be on the Marquee Network for those of us who are able to watch it on our TV packages, which that got Tom Ricketts booed in Chicago over the weekend, the mere mention of the Marquee Network. It turns out that when half your fan base isn't able to watch the games or feels they're not going to be able to watch the games, having your own TV network may not be the greatest thing in the world. And he was reminded, Jose Valverde, Hall of Fame ballot for Jose Valverde. Most likely dropping off after this year is over, but at least he can say he was on the ballot.
Eric Chavez.
Tremendous defensive third baseman. Not a slouch offensively. Could swing the bat.
Rafael Furcal.
Very solid defender.
Same thing.
Played on some high-profile teams.
Adam Dunn.
The three true outcome player, Adam Dunn. Cliff Lee, pretty good pitcher back in the day.
How long is it going to take Jeff? Is Jeff Kent going to get in?
That's an interesting case to me, because if you look at the era and when he retired, I think he retired as the greatest offensive second baseman of all time.
Right.
The numbers that he put up.
I was talking about Craig Biggio earlier, but Jeff Kent's numbers are up there.
I would put Bobby Grich in the Hall of Fame before I put Jeff Kent, but again, that's just because I tend to way overvalue previous eras, and I look at the modern era, the guys that I have seen play over the course of my lifetime, and I go, yeah, okay, yeah, good player. Oh, that's a Hall of Famer? Wow. I think Barry Larkin was one of the first players that I remember. When he got into the Hall of Fame, I remember thinking, wow, I need to reevaluate how I look at this. I always thought Barry Larkin was a really good player, all-star, perennial all-star caliber player, Hall of Famer, eh. Biggio, Bagwell, eh. It's my cross to bear. 319-366-1600. I'm not reading any more of the Yankee hater texts. And I see them. They are, speaking of being a compiler, they are being compiled right now on the text line, 366-1600.
This is just my question, okay? Derek Jeter gets his own day. Who is a better player, Derek Jeter or Alex Rodriguez?
Oof.
Alex Rodriguez is a better baseball player. And I understand that the steroids and that is in play. I get that.
Steroids, plural, because he lied multiple times. 100%.
I understand that. But I just feel like there are better Yankees. There have been plenty of better players, even in that organization, that would be much, you'd think would be much more celebrated because of their play on the field. I think that it's sort of the longevity and the clean cut image that is at play here. It goes back to the character discussion, and that's actually come up with multiple players that we've discussed just in this class alone. You bring up Curt Schilling, you bring up some of the alleged steroid users. That's the discussion we have. It wasn't necessarily about the play, a person's on-field play. He was a, like I said, great player, but that's not all we're talking about here, obviously.
319-366-1600, my pal Boston Bo emailing to say people forget that Larry Walker played on teams 8 seasons with teams other than the Rockies and put up good numbers. He right. finished his career with the Cardinals, did he not?
He did. They made the trade on I was after the trade deadline to acquire him in 2004.
Is there any other franchise in baseball that's more adept at picking up guys at the end of their careers and getting them? Will Clark, Cardinal. Lance Berkman. Larry Walker.
Carlos Beltran. Woody Williams.
We're playing Remember These Guys today on
I miss those days.
Hall of Fame. The announcement coming up at the top of the hour, which we have 30 minutes for you to vote in our poll question while it's still relevant. Will Derek Jeter be a unanimous selection for the Hall of Fame this evening? The poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, Alex is going to bring you a big board update. We'll take your texts and phone calls and then get into a little basketball discussion. Iowa State plays tonight, Iowa tomorrow. That and more on the way after this.
Making your home more energy efficient doesn't have to require major changes. Little things can make a big difference, like shade. Open up and let the sun in to help heat the house when it's cool, and close those shades on hot days to keep the sun at bay. Unplug for a while. Lots of electronic devices like TVs, game systems, and chargers use power even when they're off. So plug into an advanced power strip that shuts off power to devices that aren't being used. Be bright. Replace incandescent lighting with Energy Star certified LEDs. They use 70 to 90% less energy and last a lot longer. Automate. Install a programmable thermostat that adjusts the temperature while you sleep or you're out of the house to save energy and money. And if you want to know about how you're using energy in your home, download the Smart Hub app to monitor what you're using daily and how it's trending over time. Energy saving that's easier. It's just another one of the nifty benefits of membership with Linn County Rural Electric Cooperative.
January of 2020, Microsoft will no longer be supporting Windows 7. If you don't upgrade, the probability is very strong to get viruses. The audits that we've been currently doing, we tell them exactly what PCs can be upgraded, what PCs may need to be replaced, to know exactly where they're at in the process.
Call NCS at 247-7223, Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle. Online sports betting is here with EliteSportsbook.com. If you are an active Riverside Casino and Golf Resort Club member, go to EliteSportsbook.com now and follow the prompts to start betting. Not a Resort Club member? Visit Riverside Casino to join today. Bet with Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort or online now. More ways to get in the game with EliteSportsbook.com and Riverside Casino and Golf Resort. Must be 21. Gambling a problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Dave is a common name used in a comical way. Please don't write us to tell us you were insulted by this ad. That would be a real Dave move, Dave.
This is Sarah.
Hi, I'm Sarah.
Sarah was looking for a job, but wanted to stay local.
That's right.
First, she built a giant satellite, then launched it into space to send a signal transmitting her resume. This did not lend Sarah a job, but it did start a war with the Zarkon Nebula.
I went too far.
Yes, Sarah went too far. But you don't have to go too far to go far. Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, helpwanted.com only posts local jobs, so employers are way more likely to respond to your application and offer you a job. Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, helpwanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Hills Bank is proud to present Corridor High School Athletics on the Gym. Connect with a banker in office or on our Here app. Hills Bank. Connection is here. Member FDIC.
Well, how about Paul Konerko has at least one vote. Paul Hoynes, who covers the Cleveland Indians and has for a number of years, has made his ballot public. And Paul Konerko picking up a vote. He also has Todd Helton on his ballot. Neither one of those guys is going to be going in tonight. And I don't think anybody else will other than Derek Jeter. 319-366-1600. Before we get to a big board update, let's head to the phone lines and check in with Adam in Cedar Rapids. Adam, what's on your mind tonight?
First of all, gentlemen, love the show as always. Love the baseball talk. Hall of Fame announcement coming up quick. I'm waiting for that big board from Alex as well. But I love Larry Walker. Was the kind of player that nobody would run on that right field arm out in right field. And you know what? If it wasn't for guys like that, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. coming along, Larry Walker would have been an expo for life. And then the season of 1994 hurt him the most. He probably would be a world champion with an Expos here today. But I got to say, Derek Jeter, he's just a Yankee. That's all he is. He's a regular, everyday guy on any other team. And you know what? Omar Vizquel was a much better player than Derek Jeter, just not offensively. Love the show as always, guys. Alex Kuhn, you are the man.
Adam tossing a Molotov cocktail there. It is fascinating. Jeter played a baseball season is 162 games long.
Yes.
Jeter played 158 postseason games in his career. So in addition to two decades as a player, he essentially played an entire season's worth of postseason games. That's impressive. It's also a byproduct of the teams that he was playing on. You're not playing 158 postseason games if you're a member of the Pittsburgh Pirates or the Kansas City Royals.
He played on some of the most dominant teams. And that stretch where the Yankees were just absolutely dominating baseball in a fashion we haven't seen since. I get that he was the captain of that team, but the whole winning thing in baseball, especially, well, he's a winner. He's a winning player. Yeah, I guess there's something to be said for that, but this is baseball.
Well,
it takes a team to win games.
And the Baseball Hall of Fame has always been a joke anyway, because it comes down to who the baseball writers liked.
Yes.
Burt Blyleven, not exactly the most popular. Jim Rice, not exactly beloved by the guys who wrote about them. So they made those guys wait. Again, you're either a Hall of Famer or you're not. But the baseball writers, they view this as their little club. They're very selective about who they let in. They guard. Dan Le Batard lost his vote because he sold it to Deadspin several years ago to, in part, highlight what a mockery the Hall of Fame voting was. Greg Cody, his occasional co-host on the Dan Le Batard show with Stu Gatz, still has his Hall of Fame vote, and that only came up about 7 or 8 times today on the hour, every hour this morning.
I will just say that I enjoyed the show today. I can't expand on that, but he quoted somebody from Twitter that I do enjoy following, but that's for the morning. This is now for the afternoon. I didn't pick up on why he kept bringing up the fact that he had a Hall of Fame vote, and now I feel dumb because, of course, That is the one story that Dan Le Batard consistently brings up, how he sold his vote.
Sports writers love to take themselves seriously, and people who have covered a sport long enough to get something like a Hall of Fame vote, they take that self-love and they ratchet it up to an unbearable level. So you're talking about a largely pretentious body of people here deciding who they want in the Hall and on their terms, which again, Clemens, Bonds, I don't think you can keep those guys out any longer. The first year they were eligible, sure, why not? Send them a message. It's juvenile, it's pointless, but it blemishes their record, because there is something to be said about guys who go in on the first ballot. That is a select club. It means you are the elite of the elite. And so by taking that away from Clemens and Bonds and Palmeiro and Sheffield and Sosa and everybody else, the message was sent. It's time. Go ahead and put them in, because you can't convince me that there aren't worse characters. As a matter of fact, I know for a fact there are worse characters already in the Hall of Fame. Unless you're kicking Ty Cobb to the curb or some of the other players that are in the Hall of Fame, don't come at me with the morals clause.
Yeah, and there are also players that were suspected of steroid use who are in the Hall of Fame, who have already been inducted into the Hall of Fame in the last 5 years.
And managers who look the other way, and a commissioner who look the other way. Bud Selig is in the Hall of Fame. If Selig is in the Hall of Fame, and I know the writers didn't control Selig's election, or selection, I should say, but if Selig is going to be in the Hall of Fame, Bonds and Clemens should be as well. We're way overdue. We got to get you a big board update. Alex, go ahead and give the people what they want.
The Iowa State men's basketball team is back at Hilton Coliseum for what seems like a must-win game of sorts as they take on Oklahoma State. The Pokes are the lone team left in the Big 12 without a conference victory, and Iowa State has to go on the road to take on Auburn on Saturday and prior to a home game against number one Baylor next week. So, like I said, a very important game for Iowa State this evening. Tip-off is scheduled for 7 p.m., and we're going to pick up coverage on 1600 a.m. at 6:30 p.m. with John Walters calling the Cyclone Radio Network. Iowa basketball announced a couple of things about tomorrow's top 25 matchup at Carver Hawkeye Arena against Rutgers. First, that there are plenty of tickets remaining, 5,000 to be exact. Second, they are encouraging all fans to wear gold for the 8 p.m. tip-off, a gold-out scheduled for Iowa and Rutgers tomorrow. Matt Campbell has filled a vacancy on his staff as longtime Northwestern offensive coordinator Mick McCall has joined Iowa State staff to coach the running backs. This according to footballscoop.com. He replaces Alex Gulish, who coached the tight ends and left for UCF last month. This means that offensive coordinator Tom Manning, who coached the running backs last year, will now coach the tight ends, and McCall will slide in as running backs coach. As I mentioned, high school basketball tonight, 7:20 for the pregames on 107.5 FM. We have a girls matchup between Iowa City Liberty and Linmar, and on 106.3, we have a boys matchup between Waterloo West and Iowa City West.
I'm going to ask a question that I know the answer to, and it's stupid to do so, but I'm going to ask it. How are there 5,000 tickets remaining for tomorrow night's game? Now, the answer to that is because until about a week ago, you didn't view Rutgers as a top 25 team. Most people looking at that game said, an 8 o'clock tip-off at Carver Hawkeye Arena against Rutgers, I think I'll pass. There are 5,000 tickets remaining for a top 25 showdown at Carver Hawkeye Arena. I don't care who the opponent is, and I do know that the weather forecast, it's not dire, but it does look like there's a little bit of snow in the forecast for tomorrow night. But this is, and some we've discussed this now for the better part of the last month, this is a team that is worthy of fan support. They may not be the 86-87 Hawkeyes. They may not have 9 or 10 guys that go on to professional careers like that team did. I'm counting the CBA there for those of you who want to fact check and audit the program on a daily basis. But this is a, dare I say, gritty competitive team.
It's a good basketball team.
It's a good basketball team. And they've played well at home against the last two teams that were top 25 caliber opponents in Maryland and Michigan. And now they've got a top. Not only that, Rutgers has a pretty sketchy history with Iowa when it comes to recent his. Rutgers has embarrassed Iowa.
They came into Carver-Hawkeye Arena last year and won. After that miraculous shot that Joe Wieskamp hit at the rack to beat them last year, they nearly swept the season series last year.
5,000 tickets remaining for the game tomorrow. You got to do better than that.
This sort of falls under the Illinois football game from earlier this season where you didn't realize that it was going to be a good game. You see Illinois on the schedule. You see Rutgers on the schedule. You scoff a little bit, and I get it. But as you said, this team to me has been the most impressive that I've covered since following this program, because not a lot was expected. We've discussed that. But this is a first team where you feel as though there may be sustainability. I didn't think there really was last year. They won a game in the NCAA tournament. They got to the second round. They nearly got to the Sweet 16. I get that, but they had another slide down the stretch. Even early in the season, I was skeptical. I think there's staying power here. Now, I'm not saying they're going to get to the Sweet 16. I think they're an NCAA tournament team, but it feels different. That team, you expect them to win close games. You expect them to be able to withstand runs that other teams make, that to be able to come back from down 5, 6, 7, maybe even 10 points. You expect them to do that because they've shown that they can do that already. It's a sort of a weird feeling, yet I'm not sure that everybody's fully bought in yet.
Someday Eastern Iowa will wake up to the realization that we have a tremendous sports columnist in our midst. I know some people are not the biggest fans of Mike Halas in the world, but he had a tremendous line in his column about this game tomorrow. He said, an 8 o'clock tip-off in the middle of January, that's not catnip to college basketball cats. And 8 o'clock in the middle of the work week, in the middle of the school week, is a hard sell. But that being said, there are plenty of people out there who aren't going to let work and aren't going to let the fact that they have kids stand in the way of getting to Carver-Hawkeye Arena and supporting the team. At least I would think that would be the case. This is going to be, I'm excited to finally be, see, part of the consequences of getting off the air at 6 o'clock now is it's making it a little bit easier for me to do some of the secondary aspects of my job, like dragging my butt to Carver-Hawkeye Arena and being around the team that I have the audacity to talk about on a daily basis on the radio, as if I know what I'm talking about when I haven't even laid eyes on them in person yet this season. And if you listen, you know that I am open and transparent about I like to be around the people that I'm talking about, whether or not I'm saying good things or bad things about them. I think if you're going to do that, you owe it to be around the program. Same thing goes for criticizing things like marketing or how a department runs things as far as making players available and everything. If I'm going to be critical, I want to be there, because the easiest thing in the world to do is to be critical and never show your face. Plus, I'm excited to see who I think are two really good teams. If the season ended today, Iowa would be the fifth seed in the Big Ten tournament.
They have a legitimate National Player of the Year candidate.
Jay Billis again today. No, I think it's the second time this year where Jay Billis has singled out Luka Garza.
It's why I'm saying this, because they're winning games and he's putting up these numbers. We had Mac McCausland on, and you kind of understand when you get this, the National Player of the Year in basketball, the Heisman Trophy winner in football, you give it to a player who is on the best team a lot. That's what these voters do. And Mac McCausland said Iowa's going to need to keep winning games in order for this to happen. But right now, they are winning games, and he's putting up ridiculous numbers. He's the best center in college basketball and maybe the most dominant player in the country. And like I said, a legitimate National Player of the Year candidate is in Iowa City. It feels weird to be saying that on January the 22nd.
On top of all of this,
excuse me, the 21st,
you have Jordan Bohannon today teasing fans with the idea that he is a couple weeks ahead of recovery time, months ahead of recovery time. And, you know, if he felt like it, he could come back in March and April just in time for the Final Four. But I think there was some tongue-in-cheek jesting going on there. But it's fun to dream on stuff like that. And it's fun to sit and dream on where this team would be if he was able to play all season long with the Hawkeyes as opposed to being on the bench at this point. But they're doing just fine without him, and I think that's something very few of us saw coming. I certainly readily admit that I thought, okay, they passed the point of no return after the Iowa State game. It's drop dead. He's played his 10 games. It's going to be a long winter. And yet here they are, and they go out, and they beat a top 25 Maryland team. They beat a top 25 Michigan. Now they've got a top 25 Rutgers team coming to Carver Hawkeye Arena. This team is fun to watch, and it's worthy of people's support. And because TV ruins everything in this day and age, except for the lining the pockets of the schools and the athletic directors, but because of TV, you have an 8 o'clock start time in the middle of the week, and there's nothing you can do about it. Because there's not an athletic director in the country that's going to stand up for their fan base and say, we can't have 8 o'clock start times. It's not good for putting butts in the seats. Because the TV networks are going to go, do you want the money or not? So it's a catch-22. But the people who want to be there tomorrow night are going to be there tomorrow night. And hopefully they're as noisy and invested in the game as the crowd that I watched from the comfort and safety of my house last Friday, because those people were loud and boisterous, and very few people were probably yelling at them to sit down because those people stayed home. Maybe they need to do that more often. 319-366-1600 as we discuss a little college hoops action today. Iowa State plays tonight. We're going to have Alex Halstead with us at 24/7 Sports coming up at 6:30 this evening. He will preview Iowa State and Oklahoma State. The Cowboys 0-5 in Big 12 play. Iowa State a 6-point favorite tonight at Hilton Coliseum, courtesy of the Elite Sports Book in Riverside. I think that opened at 5, so there seems to be some action trending in the direction of Iowa State as far as the wagering goes. A couple Big Ten games are tipping off in about 70 minutes. You got Illinois and Purdue, the newly minted top 25 Illinois Fighting Illini, that is. I think Northwestern plays tonight as well. And I'm trying to think off the top of my head the third matchup in Big Ten play. It's Nebraska at Wisconsin. I think I saw the Badgers were favored by 11.5 points in that one. Illinois at Purdue, Maryland at Northwestern. Those are the 6 o'clock games in Wisconsin at Nebraska. Kansas State takes on Kansas tonight. That's a 6 o'clock tip in the Big 12, and Texas Tech travels to TCU. We will have right here on 1600 AM Iowa State and Oklahoma State. John Walters on the call for you later on this evening. We'll take a quick timeout. We come back, more of your texts and phone calls. And on the way, incredibly easy trivia. In honor of Jack Nicklaus's 80th birthday, somebody's going to have an opportunity to take home a one-hour session inside Graduate Iowa City's Top Golf Swing Suite. It's all on the way. Stick around. More on the way after this.
Every dang time. You need to call to make an appointment somewhere, and you remember right after the place closes. Linder Tire gets it. So now you can make your appointment online at lindertire.com. You can even see your tire options by typing in your license number. Schedule any Linder Tire appointment at LinderTire.com.
Keep your ride in good shape for the season with everything from oil change to alternator check. And find this month's specials at LinderTire.com.
Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell.
Welcome back, Hawkeyes. Iowa Book's goal this week is to make your shopping easy. Iowa Book has added extra staff,
extra cash registers, and is open extra hours. Save money by choosing less expensive used or rental textbooks. Iowa Book also has all your necessary school supplies and Hawkeye gear. Iowa Book is open this Monday through Friday, 9 till 8. Downtown Iowa City, across from the old Capitol since 1920.
Iowa Book, a one-of-a-kind bookstore.
You're in charge of hiring, and Indeed has solutions, like online skills tests, which let a candidate show that they're the right hire. Indeed will also give you this sticky frog, which will suddenly leap and stick to the face of the perfect hire. Okay, there's no sticky frog. But skills tests, that's a for sure.
See why independent research by Silk Road shows Indeed delivers three times more hires than any other job site. Post your next job at Indeed.com/hire and try skills tests for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card.
Next stop, Graham Street. And Brian in the khaki shorts, your GNL energy bill went up 60% this month. Seems like you want to know. Stand clear of the closing doors.
So, meet Eno, the Capital One assistant that catches things that might look wrong, like increases to a recurring bill, then sends an alert to your phone and helps you fix it. Eno, another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details. Limitations apply.
It's a new year, and you want to keep growing your team, but you need the right tools to help keep your hiring streamlined and efficient. That's where ZipRecruiter.com/Will comes in. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. And right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Will. That's ZipRecruiter.com/WILL. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Get to B-Dubs on Thursdays for buy one, get one free boneless wings. Or as we like to say, 100% more wings. That's right. When you buy boneless wings on Thursdays, you get the same amount of wings for $0.00. Basically, the second order is 100% off. So get here for buy one, get one free boneless wings on Boneless Thursdays. Buffalo Wild Wings. Roar!
Buy one, get one of equal value free. Dine in at participating locations. Takeout is limited and may vary by location. Size exclusions may apply while supplies last. Limit one offer per customer. Not valid with any other coupon.
4:55, welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, 102.3, 106.3 on the FM dial, also still on 107.5 FM for those of you that have been asking questions about that frequency as well. Big things in store for you here in the coming weeks and months. We will have more details when they are available to you. Alex Halstead of 24/7 Sports is going to join us tonight at 5:30, we'll preview Iowa State, Oklahoma State from Hilton Coliseum in Ames. The Hall of Fame announcement, a.k.a. Derek Jeter's lone inductee this year in the Hall of Fame, is anticipated within the first few minutes after the top of the hour. We will have that for you here on the air, as well as incredibly easy trivia, giving you the opportunity to take home a one-hour session inside Graduate Iowa City's Top Golf Swing Suite, located on the second level of Graduate Iowa City. You can book your tee times now. We were there. It wasn't the grand opening that we were there for, but it was right before the grand opening. It seems like it's been a while, but I remember
right when it opened.
Remember being blown away by how cool the place was. They got refrigerators there with beer and everything in it, and you book your time, and they take care of everything after the fact. And
you can play any course, most courses in the country on this simulator, and you can play other games if you're not a golf fan. That you can do a lot of things in the swing suite, and you don't have to be out in this miserable
cold.
Yeah,
you ain't playing Jack outdoors right now in Eastern Iowa, I can tell you that much. And it's going to be a while before the area golf courses are open and running again. So this may be your best opportunity to get some swings in. We'll have that trivia question for you and put buttons to work coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. 319-366-1600. This is fascinating as well. You mentioned is this the Iowa Senate or the House?
The Iowa Senate.
The Iowa Senate.
Bipartisan, by the way.
Bipartisan, which is something you don't hear too much of in 2020. A bipartisan effort in the Iowa Senate to introduce a bill that would allow college athletes in the state of Iowa to be compensated for their play and their likeness. This is a phenomenon that we have seen pick up steam across the country. I think California may have been the first state to take up the initiative.
It was, and then South Carolina. And Iowa is now introducing a bill, and it'll be interesting to see. So the Senate votes on it first. If it passes the Senate, it goes to the House. Then if it passes the House, it goes to the governor. So this is going to be interesting to watch, because will Iowa be another state, another feather in the cap that forces the NCAA to act on this and not just say that they're going to act on this?
We'll have more details on this coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, a sort of unanticipated, didn't expect to see this come down the line today. But for those of you who are hockey fans, it's kind of a light menu tonight in the NHL, but the Blackhawks are at home against the Florida Panthers at the United Center. Alex, it's Joel Quenneville's first trip back to the United Center after being sacked by the team last season. And of course, Joel Quenneville at the helm of all three Stanley Cup winners in Chicago.
Bring some strange juju to the Blackhawks today, because seeing Duncan Keith and Jonathan Toews fighting in practice was a little bit jarring.
It's either going to be a big win tonight for that team, or they're coming unraveled. I don't know. They've won six straight. They're actually playing pretty decent hockey. Of course, they've played some pretty bad hockey teams. So Florida, I believe, has the backup goaltender in net tonight as well. But good to see Joel Quenneville back at the United Center, and should be a good game to watch tonight if I can wrestle the remote control away from the two other people that I share it with at home. Impossibly easy trivia coming up. Your opportunity to take home a one-hour session to graduate Iowa City's Topgolf Swing Suite is on the way after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
And Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. Hollywood, Florida police told ESPN's Cameron Wolf they're investigating possible battery at the home of free agent receiver Antonio Brown. Brown's a suspect in the incident but has not been arrested or charged. It's related to the moving truck parked in front of Brown's house and its workers. We are moments away from the Baseball Hall of Fame announcing its class of 2020, where Derek Jeter could become just the second unanimous selection ever. 1 year after his longtime Yankees teammate Mariano Rivera made history being named on 100% of the ballots. NBA, with five losses in six games, coach Mike D'Antoni issuing a challenge to his Rockets to fight back and out of their slump. James Harden's three-point struggles at the heart of Houston's issues, notes ESPN's Tim Legler.
What I've seen over the last seven games is 76 missed three-point shots. That's not taken, that's just missed three-pointers. And when you talk about an offense that reliant on one player, you are going to have a stretch where the Rockets are losing games, and that's what's going on right now. It's as simple as that.
Houston currently is sixth in the Western Conference.
Coming up on Wednesday, in honor of Zion Williamson's NBA debut, the season can finally begin, and we'll bring you up to speed in a way only we can. Plus, there was a lot of respect when he left the game, but is he 100%? Go look and wingo Wednesday, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2.
The SportsCenter update was brought to you by Steve Anderson and his crew at Hawkeye Title and Settlement, the team you love, the people you trust since 2004.
Hi, I'm Steve Anderson. Since I grew up 10 minutes from Carver Hawkeye Arena, I've been obsessing over Iowa athletics since birth. Hawkeye teams stand for maximum effort on every play. We founded Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services on some of those same principles. Provide efficient, high-quality real estate title and closing services, whether you're buying or selling a commercial property or buying your first home. We'll also make it a pleasant and fun transaction. Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services, 568 Highway 1 West in Iowa City. The team you love, the people you trust.
It's time for some straight talk. You know those football players who are all talk, no show? Well, big wireless carriers aren't much different. Well, Straight Talk Wireless doesn't give you the hype, just the savings. For just $45 a month, you'll get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G. No contract. All on the same 4G LTE networks as the big guys, but up to half the cost. Savings delivered right to your wallet. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
A rough running engine could be suffering from buildup of fuel and oil deposits, but Seafoam Motor Treatment for $7.99 at O'Reilly Auto Parts can help. Clean out built-up sludge and improve fuel economy with Seafoam Motor Treatment on sale for $7.99 each at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Two of Class 4A's top teams collide in a big boys NBC showdown this Tuesday night on 106.3 FM. Join Miles Klotz and Eric Peterson Tuesday at 7:20 as number 2 Waterloo West meets number 3 rated Iowa City West. Both the Trojans and Wahawks have only one loss apiece as they battle it out for first place in the Valley Division. That's boys NBC basketball presented by Hills Bank. Number 2 Waterloo West at number 3 Iowa City West. Tuesday at 7:20 on 106.3 FM KGYM.
Welcome back in. It is the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio with you for the next 55 minutes until we cede the airwaves to ESPN Radio. And as you just heard our very own Scott Unash say, we do have some high school basketball on the way for you this evening as well. Stick with us because coming up in 25 minutes, Alex Halstead of 24/7 Sports and Cyclone Alert will be with us to preview Iowa State and Oklahoma State tonight from Hilton Coliseum in Ames. The Cyclones, despite having lost 5 of their last 6 games, a 6-point favorite over the Cowboys, the only Big 12 team that has yet to notch a victory. There's some pretty good basketball on tap tonight elsewhere. Butler is at Villanova. Butler's gone into a little bit of a tailspin, but that's a top 25 showdown. We mentioned the Big Ten slate this evening, Wisconsin at home against Nebraska. They're a double-digit favorite. Illinois and Purdue should be a great game. That is at West Lafayette, a top 25 Illinois team going on the road, and we've seen how good Purdue can be at home this season. Just ask Tom Izzo and Michigan State. We're anticipating the announcement of the Baseball Hall of Fame inductee. I can't say inductees because I don't think it's going to be multiple, but is this tomorrow? Zion Williamson makes his season debut tomorrow?
He does.
How is it that the basketball world is, I mean, they should cancel Iowa and Rutgers, just cancel all the basketball games and focus solely on Zion Williamson making his debut.
Well, ESPN this season has scheduled a lot of New Orleans Pelicans games, anticipating that Zion Williamson would be with the team all season long, and all it has done has just dropped the ratings for the NBA because nobody's watching those games because the Pelicans are sort of a middling team, and Zion Williamson's not there, but it's sort of ironic because the game that he comes back was not going to be an ESPN nationally televised game, but you can bet that they flexed it into an ESPN nationally televised game. So Zion Bonanza tomorrow as he makes his season debut for a team that's playing some good basketball.
I'll tell you one thing that Zion Williamson has been very good for, and that is the trading card industry. The prices on some of this year's basketball trading cards have just gone absolutely through the roof. Of course, he's not the only impact rookie.
No.
John Morant is...
he's unbelievable.
Is a tremendously talented... So I pay attention to this stuff because I'm a member of this club that breaks boxes and cases and everything. And I don't do basketball. I haven't collected basketball cards and memorabilia since I was a much younger kid, but I have monitored... it's like buying a lottery ticket, basically. And if you're lucky enough to land a Zion Williamson autographed issue or a Ja Morant, you can turn around and sell it and then reinvest it in more lottery tickets. It's always the best way to go. But you don't have to win the lottery to enjoy winning, though. I teased this in the last hour. We have for you tonight incredibly easy trivia. Now, I balked at calling that this because in the event that you don't know the answer, it's sort of the host of the program questioning your intelligence, which is not necessarily a good thing to do in sports
talk
radio.
Here's what I will say. This trivia question, I did not know the answer to.
Okay.
So,
well, I heard Scott Unash and Mark Dukes
too bad
earlier, and they actually gave away the answer. They didn't even know what the question was, but as they were discussing Jack Nicklaus, the answer came out. We have for you, this is synergy here. This is, you have no idea how much thought went into this with the 1 hour session inside Graduate Iowa City's Top Golf Swing Suite. Golf, Jack Nicklaus, 80th birthday today. Holy cow, worlds are colliding. It's almost as if I actually put thought into doing today's program. Here is the incredibly easy trivia question, and if you know the answer and you're the first person to tell Buttons the correct answer, you're going to take home a 1 hour session inside the Top Golf Swing Suite located in Graduate, Iowa City, downtown Iowa City on the Ped Mall. It's on the second floor. It's absolutely beautiful. It's a great time. Most importantly, it's indoors, it's warm, and there's alcohol involved. Jack Nicklaus turns 80. We probably got people already calling in and guessing. They don't even know what the question is. This is not Jeopardy. Please stop. This is incredibly easy. Jack Nicklaus turns 80 today. The Golden Bear won 18 majors. We're constantly bombarded with reminders of that because Tiger Woods is still active on the PGA Tour, and there are some people that believe that Tiger could still. He ain't touching Jack's record. What year did Jack Nicklaus win his last major title? 319-366-1600. And if you know the answer to that incredibly easy trivia question, you're going to take home a 1 hour session. I believe it's good for up to eight people inside Graduate Iowa City's Top Golf Swing Suite. What year did Jack Nicklaus, aka the Golden Bear, win his last major tournament? This is pretty famous. It's a pretty well-known moment in golf. We're looking for the year in which he won his last major.
I think
hint, it came at Augusta.
We're going to find out who our winner is. I believe we have a winner on the first try.
Winner on the first try. I want to make sure that everybody knows there is an accident on Interstate 80. We've got a couple calls and texts about this. The details a little bit vague here, but the westbound lane of Interstate 80 is blocked at Coralville. I'm assuming that's the 380-80 interchange. But Interstate 80 westbound near the 380-80 interchange currently blocked, and it must be a fairly bad one because we've had a number of people calling and let us know about that. So 80 westbound blocked at Coralville. If you take that way to get home, maybe to head north to Cedar Rapids, North Liberty, something like that, look at taking an alternate route because you may be stuck there in traffic for a while. Did we have a winner, Buttons? Do we have a winner yet? I'm assuming it's an incredibly easy trivia question. He says yes. Buttons has an Iowa State hat on. I didn't know. Is he an Iowa State guy?
Buttons, are you an Iowa State guy?
We'll find out in about five seconds.
No.
Well, hold on.
He just likes the hat. I can understand that. I was that person.
Who just wears a hat?
Me.
Okay. Yeah, I'll give you it. Okay. See, I don't know. We don't know a whole lot about Buttons. We park him on the other side of the glass. He's got a goofy name, and now I'm learning things about him. He's the type of person that just wears a hat. Didn't go to school there. Not a fan.
Randy in Cedar Rapids is our winner.
Randy in Cedar Rapids knew the answer to the incredibly easy trivia question tonight, and that answer is 1986. Jack Nicklaus won the Masters in 1986, his 18th and final major crown. There you go. We'll have another one of those one-hour sessions for you tomorrow.
We have a controversy here. 9761. Buttons, do you know 9761? Because I think 9761 claims to know Buttons.
Okay.
And says pretty sure that he's actually a big Iowa guy. So there's a major issue with the hat.
Well, Buttons works at a station on the Iowa State Radio Network, and we're an affiliate of the Cyclones, so maybe he's just being a good company man. Maybe he's not
there
trying to ruffle any feathers.
I'll expect that you and I hat tomorrow, Buttons.
Oh, yeah, that's okay. Yeah, 0797 with some details there. That's never good. So it sounds like it was definitely a bad accident there. on Interstate 80, the westbound lane near the 380 interchange. And it does sound like it's going to be a little bit of a issue with folks getting home tonight. So do be aware of that. Be cognizant of that. Again, a pretty bad accident. Interstate 80 westbound near the 380-80 interchange. If I'm off on the details there ever so slightly, we've had people saying Coralville, and to me, Coralville is the 380-80 interchange. I guess it could be the next exit up, more taking you toward, well, where you live.
I was going to say on 80 going east.
So details are a little vague there, but needless to say, some traffic is an issue. Has Derek Jeter had his moment in the sun yet?
They're milking this. They're allowing this to kind of drag on, and Bob Nightingale is tweeting and adding to the suspense on Twitter.
Just
Hall of Fame suspense.
It.
Will anybody be elected with Derek Jeter? Will Larry Walker get in?
Stupid. I don't think Larry Walker gets in. Kurt Schilling doesn't get in, and this is not the year for Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens.
Jeets join Mariano Rivera as a unanimous selection?
Thank you for bringing that up, because while we are still waiting, we are in purgatory, Hall of Fame announcement purgatory. It is still pertinent. The poll question at KGYMradio.com tonight: is Derek Jeter going to be a unanimous selection? Yes or no? Brought to you by our good friends at Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast. And we will be at Emil's at some point in the near future. I believe next Tuesday is the date that we've selected for me to make good on the lunch that I owe everybody. One football note to pass. Do we have the breaking news?
No, we don't.
We have Jeter going in.
I just want to say, if there are voters out there that are going to vote for Derek Jeter only and leave out people that think that they believe are Hall of Famers just so Derek Jeter can be the only one, as I agree with Kevin Wheeler, who's on 101 ESPN in St. Louis, give up your ballot, please.
That's another level of stupidity to me.
Yes.
They're so great that they have to be in by the... Okay, here's the deal on that. Guess what? It's already been decided. He's not going in by himself because the modern era committee has voted. And Ted Simmons is going in. Marvin Miller is going in. So however you want to spin it, however you want to polish it, Jeter ain't going in alone. So if you left off, and that's where I think the heartbreak is going to come for Larry Walker, because there were some people out there that decided Derek Jeter was so transcendent that they wanted to mark one name and one name only on the ballot. Again, you can vote for up to 10 names. So there were people, voters, that chose to only vote for Derek Jeter to give him that singular honor. And if Larry Walker winds up falling 4 or 5 votes shy of getting to that magic threshold, then I think those people deserve every bit of criticism that's coming your way. And I will say this. I learned my lesson a long time ago. When I was in college at the University of Iowa, I remember voting in a city council election, and that city council election wound up being decided by a handful of votes.
We have breaking news.
Oh, my God. Tell me. Derek, did he get in?
Derek Jeter got in.
No, don't ruin it. Oh, he got in. Oh.
But so did Larry Walker.
Well, how about that? That makes me legitimately happy.
Me too.
As somebody who spent the majority of Larry Walker's career not viewing him as a Hall of Famer, time, I think, has been very good to him. I know Jason Stark, the outstanding baseball writer, shared a statistic. Again, you can do a lot of things with numbers, and they fed Larry Walker's best seasons into a neutral park model where it takes out the Coors Field effect. I think one season he had 14 fewer hits. People overestimate the effect that Coors Field has on a number. If you can be a good hitter, you can be a good hitter. Larry Walker was a pretty good hitter. Also, and I don't expect anybody to even remember this because it's pointless, but Larry Walker, an alum of the Midwest League. He passed through the Midwest League in 1986. He played minor league baseball in Burlington, Iowa. So the folks in Burlington, an opportunity to see another Hall of Fame caliber player on his way to Cooperstown. Billy Williams, the former Cub great, played in Burlington many years ago. I mentioned this. I do have an agenda here. I will fight tooth and nail until the decision has been handed down by Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball is trying to kill minor league baseball in places like Burlington and Clinton, and depending on who you talk to, Davenport. And I think it's a travesty, and this is another reminder to me why. Because you take minor league baseball away from Burlington, you take the ability of folks in Southeast Iowa, in Iowa, to see guys like Larry Walker come up through the minor leagues. Hall of Famer, Larry Walker. So Derek Jeter goes in. Was he unanimous?
That I am waiting to see, but let's see. Larry Walker, I have not gotten any word. I have not seen yet whether or not Derek Jeter was unanimous.
My guess is he was unanimous, but I don't know. Maybe somebody out there didn't get a gift basket from him one time and decided to hold a grudge against him. Little bit of Paul Molitor, thank you, 3739. I knew I was leaving at least one Burlington Hall of Famer off. See, that's a problem when you try to do something off the top of your head. You forget people. This is the only minor league city that Paul Molitor played in, if I recall correctly. He went straight from the University of Minnesota to Burlington and then to the Brewers the next year.
397 total votes.
Yes.
Derek Jeter got 396.
So he wasn't unanimous?
One person left him off.
Oh, I'm going to find that person's address.
Oh, poor guy.
Send them a card. Wow. Oh, the witch hunt. The witch hunt is on now. We love.
Oh, man. Yankees fans are going to be out in full force against this poor person.
If there's one thing in 2020 that we love to do, it is publicly shame people that we disagree with. It used to be a time in this country where you could disagree with somebody and stay civil. There are going to be people, probably death threats.
Address show up in any New York publication?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. They'll dox that voter, so you'll have people calling to have that vote taken away. It's going to get ridiculous. My guess is that it's somebody north of 75 years old. My guess is that it is a longtime voter. I know for a couple years, there was a voter that turned in a ballot that was blank as a protest of the steroid era. I don't know whether that person still has a vote or not, but it's going to get ugly. And it's over something as trivial as he's still in the Hall of Fame. He goes into the Hall of Fame, and he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Why do we need the distinction of, you know what? Maybe that person was just trying to protect Mariano Rivera. Maybe that person. So you've got the people that put Jeter alone on the ballot, only voted for Jeter, and now maybe, and I'm prescribing motives here to a voter that I have no idea, but maybe that voter just absolutely thought Mariano Rivera was the greatest baseball player of all time, a guy who pitched one inning a game only when his team had the lead. That guy deserves to stand alone as the all-time greatest player, the only unanimous selection in the Baseball Hall of Fame. 396 out of 397 votes, and somebody's getting death threats tonight. I guarantee it. It is one of the saddest, most despicable aspects of not just human behavior, but sports fandom. People take this crap way too seriously, and I suppose I should be happy about that because it's the reason I have the job that I do. If people didn't care about sports passionately, there wouldn't be sports talk radio. But at the end of the day, it's not the end of the world.
So more results are coming out about the voting. Kurt Schilling is at 70%, so more than likely he will be in the Hall of Fame the next go around.
At some point, yes. You get 15 years on the ballot.
Bonds and Clemens crossed the 60% barrier for the first time.
So they continue to pick up support, which is again trending in the direction of they will eventually be allowed in.
So that's what we know. That's more of the information that has come out, and I think that we're going to see all three of those guys in the Hall of Fame conservatively in the next 5 years.
So Jeter gets 99.7% of the ballot on his first year on the ballot. Larry Walker, 76.6% of the vote in his 10th year on the ballot. Schilling, 70% on the nose. Roger Clemens at 61%. Barry Bonds at 60.7%. 75% is the threshold here, so that people understand that. And then I do think it's fascinating. You look at the rest of the votes. Omar Vizquel finished in sixth place with 209 votes, got over 50%, which I would not have expected Omar Vizquel to sniff 50% personally, but we are in a new era. A lot of voters approaching voting differently. Scott Rowland got 140 votes, 35% of the vote. Billy Wagner got 126 votes. And on down the list, Bobby Abreu got 22 votes. That is 5.5% of the voting. You have to have 5% to remain on the ballot, if I recall correctly. So Bobby Abreu will remain on the ballot next season, along with Andy Pettit, Sammy Sosa, Andrew Jones, Jeff Kent, Manny Ramirez, Todd Helton, and Gary Sheffield. Those were the other players that I had not named off yet at that point. So Derek Jeter, one vote shy of being a unanimous Hall of Famer. 319-366-1600. Let's bring John in Columbus Junction on board to discuss the Hall of Fame. John, how you doing?
Doing great, guys. Yourself?
Doing great, John.
I'm fantastic tonight, John. Couldn't be happier.
I know, right? It's awesome. Derek Jeter not going in. That one lone voter, I don't know who it is, but I got a sneaking suspicion they're probably a Red Sox fan. That's where I would start looking first. These rivalries run deep, as you guys know. That's about all I got, but congratulations to everybody that is going into the Hall of Fame, especially Larry Walker.
This is going to be the feel-good story here, in my opinion.
Yes.
And it's going to take a little bit of the shine, the spotlight away from Derek Jeter, and some people aren't going to like that. But this is a feel-good story, in my opinion. A guy who's been on the ballot for 10 years, and he's in now.
Is it now very obvious, looking at the fact that he got, I think, 16% of the vote just 4 years ago? In 2016, that we are reevaluating the way we look at the game.
I think so, and I'm okay with that.
I am too, because that guy was a Hall of Famer.
I'm fine with baseball trending toward being the Hall of Very Good. Ted Simmons probably deserved to be in the Hall of Fame a long time ago. There are guys, and I mentioned Bobby Gritch earlier on the show. I had an opportunity to meet him at a hot stove banquet here in Cedar Rapids about a decade ago. Bill James is a huge Bobby Gritch fan. If you go back and read the historical abstract, and he puts into perspective Bobby Gritch's numbers against some of the other great second basemen who are in the Hall of Fame, you can make the case that he deserves a spot there. But that's unexpected. I was not expecting Larry Walker to make it in. He gets in by the skin of his teeth, 76.6% of the vote. And if you're a fan of Curt Schilling, as well as Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds, the numbers are trending in their favor. Schilling, Clemens, and Bonds all on the ballot for their eighth year. I said 15 earlier. They did change the rule, right? It's now 10. This was Larry Walker's last year on the ballot. It used to be 15. I think they changed the rule where you're on the ballot now for 10, but that's because they have a little bit more of a liberal use of things like the modern era committees. So they've got a couple more years, Clemens and Bonds. And I think
this is, I will say this. This is also not this is not about someone's character. And I say that with everybody who's trying to get in. If they were good enough to get in, they should get in. As whether you agree with someone or disagree with someone, the way that they live, the way that they conduct themselves, what they think about life. If they're a Hall of Famer on the field, then they should be in the Hall of Fame.
319-366-1600. He's a Hall of Fame guest for us. Alex Halstead of 24/7 Sports coming up shortly. First, a big board update with the one and only Alex Kuhn.
The Iowa State men's basketball team is back at Hilton Coliseum for a must-win game of sorts as they take on Oklahoma State. The Pokes are the lone team left in the Big 12 without a conference victory, and Iowa State, after Oklahoma State, will have to go on the road to take on Auburn on Saturday prior to a home game against the number one team in the country, the Baylor Bears. Tip-off for tonight's game is scheduled for 7 p.m., and we're going to pick up coverage on 1600 a.m. at 6:30 with John Walters' call. Iowa basketball announced a couple of things about tomorrow's top 25 matchup at Carver-Hawkeye Arena against Rutgers. First things first, 5,000 tickets remain for the game. Second, they are encouraging all fans to wear gold. It's a gold out for an 8 p.m. tip-off. Matt Campbell has filled a vacancy on his staff as longtime Northwestern offensive coordinator Mick McCall has joined the staff to take to coach the running backs. This, according to footballscoop.com, he replaces Alex Gullish, who coached the tight ends. This means that there will be a little bit of shuffling with the staff. Tom Manning, who coached the running backs last year, will now coach the tight ends to allow McCall to coach the running backs. High school basketball tonight. No, excuse me. I forgot the fact that former Iowa Hawkeye and Wisconsin, former Iowa Hawkeye player, Wisconsin head coach Brett Bielema has assumed a spot on Joe Judge's coaching staff for the New York Giants, and now high school basketball tonight, 7:20 for the pregames on 107.5 FM. We'll have a girls game between Iowa City Liberty and Linmar, and on 106.3 FM, a boys matchup between Waterloo West and Iowa City West.
Brett Bielema in one of the most gluttonous cities in the United States outside of Las Vegas, New York, New York. The city's so nice, they named it twice, and Brett Bielema, that is a match made in heaven. He is going to love the Big Apple.
He's apparently fell in love with the NFL coaching game. He likes being in the NFL where you don't have to recruit.
Yeah, can you blame guys?
Nope. Not even a little bit.
You don't have to kiss the rear end of somebody who writes a $25,000 check to your athletic department and treat them like you like them more than your own children. You don't have to go around the state and do things like the iClub circuit. You don't have to recruit. I mean, let's not forget, we're not too far removed from an Iowa assistant coach walking away from coaching football so that he could run a fast food franchise, so that he could have a less hectic schedule and spend more time with his family.
Yeah, that happened.
That happened. 319-366-1600. As we move on with the program tonight, wrapping up when we return with the one and only Alex Halstead of 24/7 Sports. Iowa State has an opportunity to pick up a win, something that you haven't been able to say in five of the last six. Well, you could have said it. They didn't get the job done, and that's part of the problem. They are where they are right now, but Iowa State with an opportunity to at least get back on the right track against the last place Cowboys tonight. We'll preview that game, get his thoughts on Mick McCall's addition to the staff, and a whole lot more. He joins us next.
Making Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs.
In winning teams, every player brings their unique strength and has an impact on the results. For the Auburn Tigers on November 30th, 2013, it was Chris Davis. Tied at 28, Alabama came up short on a 57-yard potential game-winning field goal. Davis returned the missing field goal 109 yards for the winning score.
Build your winning team today. Go to linkedin.com/sports.
You wouldn't draft a linebacker to play as your quarterback, right? It's the same thing as when you're going to hire your next teammate. LinkedIn will match the right talent with your open roles fast. Post a job and you'll get great candidates with the right mix of skills, interests, and experience. So every hire you make is a win for your business. Go to linkedin.com/sports and get $50 off your first job post. That's linkedin.com/sports. linkedin.com/sports. Terms and conditions apply.
Making your home more energy efficient doesn't have to require major changes. Little things can make a big difference, like shade. Open up and let the sun in to help heat the house when it's cool, and close those shades on hot days to keep the sun at bay. Unplug for a while. Lots of electronic devices like TVs, game systems, and chargers use power even when they're off. So plug into an advanced power strip that shuts off power to devices that aren't being used. Be bright. Replace incandescent lighting with ENERGY STAR certified LEDs. They use 70 to 90% less energy and last a lot longer. Automate. Install a programmable thermostat that adjusts the temperature while you sleep or you're out of the house to save energy and money. And if you want to know about how you're using energy in your home, download the Smart Hub app to monitor what you're using daily and how it's trending over time. Energy saving that's easier. It's just another one of the nifty benefits of membership with Linn County Rural Electric Cooperative.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Online sports betting is here with EliteSportsbook.com. If you are an active Riverside Casino and Golf Resort Club member, go to EliteSportsbook.com now and follow the prompts to start betting. Not a resort club member? Visit Riverside Casino to join today. Bet with Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort or online now. More ways to get in the game with EliteSportsbook.com and Riverside Casino and Golf Resort. Must be 21. Gambling a problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Microsoft will no longer be supporting Windows 7 January of 2020. Everybody needs to be on Windows 10. We tell them exactly what PCs can be upgraded, what PCs may need to be replaced, and that way they know and the options are out there for them. Just call and say, I know I need to upgrade to Windows 10. Don't know where to start.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
534, welcome back in. Larry Walker, just the second Native Canadian to be elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame. The first, Ferguson Jenkins, going back in 1991. So perhaps that will come up on another edition of Incredibly Easy Trivia down the road. Again, tune in tomorrow. Your opportunity to take home another one-hour session to graduate Iowa City's Top Golf Swing Suite. Right now, let's think warm thoughts. Hilton Coliseum should be nice and toasty tonight. Oklahoma State coming to Ames. We've got it for you on 1600 AM. John Walters on the call. And Alex Halstead joining us of Cyclone Alert, 24/7 Sports. And Alex, we've discussed this. It's been written about ad nauseum, Cyclones having lost five of their last six. But tonight offers a pretty good opportunity for Iowa State to get right, at least for one night.
Yeah, tonight's definitely a must-win game for Iowa State. When you look at what's happened so far in January, but also what's ahead after tonight, Iowa State's got to take care of business against Oklahoma State, the only team that's below them currently in the Big 12 standings. And it doesn't even, you know, matter in terms of, you know, us talking about, you know, turning the season around or anything right now. It's just for like kind of the right now they need to get this game. You look at what's next, and after tonight, three of Iowa State's next four games are against the top 25 teams, including two of those games on the road. So this is the game they need, and I think they know that as they arrive here at Hilton Coliseum and as Shooter out the kids right now.
I know you guys that cover the team, you've written ad nauseum, you've talked ad nauseum about the shooting, about the three-point shooting or lack thereof, and it was especially apparent in that Texas road trip against Baylor, and Texas Tech can't get much colder offensively than Iowa State was. Does it feel like it's going to be almost impossible for them to win when they have shooting nights like that?
Yeah, I think so, because I don't think they're not so good. They're not such an elite defensive team that they can overcome those offensive nights. And you look at, you know, some of the other teams in the league like West Virginia or Baylor or Texas Tech. You know, those are three teams that right now are kind of elite defensive teams according to KenPom and a lot of different metrics. Iowa State's not in that company, and so you know, they've got to be a much better offensive team, and that's really starts beyond the arc. That's where their struggles are really stemming from. You look at the last week, and against Baylor and Texas Tech. They combined to go 9 of 45 from three. Like you said, Saturday, they went 3 of 22 from three. And if you look at halftime last week, they're down 6, and I think they went 0 of 13 on threes in the first half. And, you know, Michael Jacobson said the other day, he's like, that's just ridiculous. It's almost, like, hard to do. And that's kind of the problem right now is that it's not just that they're missing threes, it's the threes that they're missing. You know, Steve Prohm said the other night that of those 22 threes, they charged them all. Several of them, they deemed bad shots. But he said, as a team, I think they went 3 of 15 on wide-open threes. And, you know, they're just missing shots. And you look back to Kansas a couple of weeks ago, and Prohm said they went 0 of 9 on wide-open threes. So the problem right now is not that just that they're missing threes, it's that they're missing wide-open threes. And how do you fix that problem? You know, they've shot 20-plus threes in 15 of 17 games this year. And so the talking point that's starting now is at what point do you start shooting fewer threes? And Prohm said if they're not making threes, they got to start feeding the ball inside more. So, you know, we're getting to late January, and you'd want them to have an identity offensively. And that identity is still kind of trying to emerge because they're missing so many shots beyond the arc.
Alex, what was more disturbing about the Texas Tech game, the poor shooting or the turnovers?
I'd probably say the turnovers, because I think that's one area where they've actually been good this season. And I know Texas Tech's really good defensively. They've been good for several years now at, you know, turning teams over, taking charges. They're one of the better teams at that, which kind of goes hand in hand a little bit. And, you know, 20 turnovers, you know, Steve Prohm has said all season that the Iowa State, you know, for them to be good, they need to be a 10 turnover type team, and they doubled that number. And I think you just look at, you know, obviously they went 3 of 22 from 3, but, you know, losing by 20 points, it's not just their three-point shooting. It was kind of their offense as a whole. And that's one of the problems for this team right now is, you know, they've stuck in the last two games. They've stuck in games this year, but they have these little lulls where things just kind of go sideways and they can never recover. And Prohm talks about mental toughness and getting through that. But you kind of see that compounded by things like turnovers where they went through maybe a spell where their offense started to get cold and they start forcing things. They start jumping up to the air and throwing balls out of bounds. And you know, they've got to somehow figure out how to translate things from practice to games and follow scouting reports and that sort of thing. And some of that sounds so basic, but this team's still trying to figure some of those things out.
You just kind of asked the question, at what point do they try to go inside more? At what point does Steve Prohm step in? Is he in sort of a predicament here? Because he's a coach. I mean, I think back to last year, Talen Horton-Tucker, a freshman, his shot selection wasn't always great, but he's not a coach that intervenes. He wants his players to play with confidence. He wants them to play free and loose and doesn't want to get on them for every bad shot that they take. But at some point, offensively, when things aren't working, you kind of are faced with that predicament. Is he in that predicament right now?
Yeah, I think he's right in the middle of that predicament, and you could kind of tell when you talked to him on Monday was, you know, part of him is kind of conflicted because he used the words you just said. He wants to give his players great confidence, he said. You know, he doesn't want to tell them not to take open shots, and that's kind of the problem they're in. It's not just that, you know, like we said before, they're not just missing threes that they're not supposed to take. Yeah, you know, they're forcing some shots, as any team does, and like I said, 7 of those 22 they deemed as bad shots for whatever reason, whether they weren't in rhythm or they were contested. But 15 wide-open threes, you know, and you're only making 3 of them, he doesn't want to tell the players, you know, flat out to stop shooting some of them. But now he's in that predicament of you can only go so many games where you're making, you know, 6 of 25 and 3 of 22 and you're shooting below 30% from 3. I think they've shot below 30% from 3 in 7 of 19 games this year. You can only do that so many times before you start adjusting the game plan. And so I think he's getting to that point. He said that, you know, maybe they have to start waiting till longer in the shot clock to shoot them, that maybe a wide open 3 does become a bad shot if there's still 26 seconds left on the shot clock. And maybe certain guys, you know, Prentice Nixon shooting below 25% from 3 and he shot more than 50 of them. And so it's like at some point I think he's getting to the point where, you know, they're going to try to have to, you know, go out of their way to say pound it inside to George Condit, pound it inside to Michael Jacobson, wait till longer in the shot clock to be willing to take a wide open 3. And that's not something he's really ever done, whether at Murray State or at Iowa State. But this team is not a very good three-point shooting team to the point in the season where it's probably not just going to flip. And I think he's reaching the point where he's having to coach some of those things. And we'll see if that begins tonight with Oklahoma State.
Nixon or Bolton, if you could only pick one guy to get going, who would you choose?
Probably Nixon, because I think Bolton's gotten going in different ways. He's not shooting great from beyond the arc, so I think just right around 30%, 31%. But he's able to create for himself just by driving to the rim, and you've seen that. You know, I don't know if he played particularly well against Texas Tech, but the previous five games before that, I think he was averaging 18 points a game, and a lot of that was him starting to get to the free throw line and get to the basket. And so, you know, Bolton can get going just by being kind of an energy guy, but Nixon's really struggled. He's not been what I think people expect him to be coming from Colorado State. He has not provided that three-point threat. Like I said, you know, they've got four guys on the team who have shot 50-plus threes, and three of them are below like 32%, and that's Trey Jackson, Rajir Bolton, and Prentice Nixon. The only guy that shot more than 53s and shooting well is Tyrese Halliburton, who's right about 39%. Nixon's shooting, I think, at or below 25% from three, and he's shot a pretty good volume. You know, he's really hurting this team even at times by, you know, missing some of the threes he's missed. So I think if Iowa State's going to get going and turn around anything this season in the coming, you know, weeks, that Prentice Nixon has to join Rajir Bolton and Tyrese Halliburton as some kind of scoring threat. And if it's not him, maybe it's someone else like a Trey Jackson.
Is there any worry that inserting George Condit into the starting lineup has maybe stunted his rhythm at this point, because the results haven't exactly been to what I think Steve Prohm hoped?
Yeah, I think it may have changed their style a little bit, because I think, you know, Michael Jacobson is playing a little bit of a different position, maybe more what he's playing last year, I guess, but it's just changed things. I think, you know, we'll see if, you know, Condit maybe gets going as they start feeding things inside a little bit more. But, you know, I think you're seeing him play more minutes, and maybe that affects some things. So, you know, I think he's still adjusting to what it is like to be as a starter and maybe getting more attention because you're seeing some teams give them the three ball right now. You know, Texas Tech was, in some sense, I mean, it's kind of how they play, but they're daring them to shoot threes from the corner of the wing, and Iowa State's not making them. So at some point, if Iowa State's not shooting well from three and teams are just kind of giving them that space to pack the paint as Texas Tech did, you know, Texas Tech was kind of packing things in, it's going to become more of a challenge for those forwards. And, you know, that's one reason that Iowa State's got to start being more of a threat from threes, because, you know, I think the more they struggle from there, it allows teams to maybe focus on other areas of Iowa State's offense.
24/7 Sports, Alex Halstead with us ahead of tip-off tonight at Hilton Coliseum between Oklahoma State and Iowa State. It's almost unthinkable, but how ugly would things get if Iowa State were to lose this game tonight? I'm talking among the fans.
Yeah, I mentioned this earlier on the board. I think, you know, tonight's a must-win, and I don't think you can you really sugarcoat that or downplay that, I guess is probably a better word. I don't think you can downplay how big tonight is, just in terms of, like you said, the morale of both the team and probably the fan base. I mean, you're talking about an 0-5 Oklahoma State team that, you know, had back-to-back games a few weeks ago where they scored 40 and 41 points. This is not a great offensive Oklahoma State team. It's not to say that, you know, they're not capable. I mean, they led Baylor by double figures, I think, in the first half on Saturday. They have played some of the league's elite defenses in West Virginia, Baylor, and Texas Tech. So they've played some of the top teams, and that's hurt them a little bit. Just like Iowa State's already played Texas Tech, Baylor, and Kansas. They've kind of had a similarly tough Big 12 schedule. But at home, we've already talked about in recent weeks how Iowa State's starting to struggle at Hilton more than recent years. To lose to this team at home and fall into last place in the Big 12 would be a bad place for them to be. So this is a must-win, especially when you look at them having to go to Auburn on Saturday. Next week, they welcome Baylor to Hilton. You know, they've got two tough games that have, you know, put them as underdogs, and so you got to win this game tonight, absolutely.
Let's move to football for just a second. Reports are out there that Mick McCall, the former Northwestern offensive coordinator, is going to coach running backs at Iowa State. Looks like there would be a little bit of shuffling on the staff, and Tom Manning would go back to coaching tight ends.
Yeah, this looks like kind of what we maybe expected. You know, when Alex Golish left as Iowa State's tight ends coach to go to UCF to be a co-offensive coordinator, it made a lot of sense for Iowa State to shift offensive coordinator Tom Manning to the tight ends coach. Last year he was coaching running backs, but, you know, when he was gone for a year in the NFL with the Indianapolis Colts, he was coaching tight ends. So he's going to shift the tight ends coach, and Mick McCall will come from Northwestern to be the running backs coach. I believe he's at Ames, but he's not on the recruiting trail yet. Iowa State has designated someone else to be on the recruiting trail right now. So they're still finalizing some things, but I would expect them to officially announce that here in the near future. But McCall's a guy that comes from Northwestern, offensive coordinator there for 2 years. You go back to Bowling Green when Matt Campbell was younger coach, they were on the staff together, I think, for 3 years. And so there's some obviously some familiarity then there in Iowa State bringing him on. And I expect him to be much more of like a kind of an X's and O's veteran coach than I do to be a big recruiter. But I do think he's going to be able to help replace some of what Alex Golish leaves behind, and that's recruiting in the state of Illinois. So it makes a lot of sense when you look at the connections and his background, and it'll be interesting to talk to him and kind of see what he might bring to the offense. It's a little bit different than what they have with Tom Manning and some of the guys that have been together for a long time.
Great stuff as always, Alex, and we will touch base with you down the road. Thanks a lot.
Yep, thanks, guys.
Alex Halstead, give him a follow at Cyclone Alert on the 24/7 Sports Network. Again, the Elite Sportsbook in Riverside has Iowa State installed as a 6-point favorite tonight, and with good reason. This is a game that Iowa State could and should win by about 15 points, in my opinion. However, when you've lost 5 of your last 6, all bets are off, no pun intended.
They're at home. They're playing the worst team in the Big 12. They have to win this game, especially when you look at Baylor and Auburn and I believe Texas and West Virginia on the road that they're going to have to play here coming up. Is it about damage control for this team at this point right now to try to get as much as they can out of this season and start looking ahead to next year? I hate to say that at this point, but the schedule, the 3-point shooting, the turnovers, the defense, it does not look encouraging for this team.
319-366-1600. Not only is that the number to pick up the phone and give us a call here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, it also doubles as the First Federal Credit Union text line. And again, special offer for you. If you go to firstfedcu.com/KGYM, you can get details on how opening a new checking account at First Federal will land you $200. We need to take a quick timeout, our last of the night. When we come back, we'll put the finishing touches on a Tuesday show and let you know what to look for on Wednesday's edition of the Todd Brolenkamp Show with Alex Kuhn.
Every dang time. You need to call to make an appointment somewhere and you remember right after the place closes. Linder Tire gets it. So now you can make your appointment online at lindertire.com. You can even see your tire options by typing in your license number. Schedule any Linder Tire appointment at lindertire.com.
Keep your ride in good shape for the season with everything from oil change to alternator check. And find this month's specials at lindertire.com.
Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell.
Welcome back, Hawkeyes. Iowa Book's goal this week is to make your shopping easy. Iowa Book has added extra staff, extra cash registers, and is open extra hours. Save money by choosing less expensive used or rental textbooks. Iowa Book also has all your necessary school supplies and Hawkeye gear. Iowa Book is open this Monday through Friday, 9 till 8. Downtown Iowa City, across from the old Capitol since 1920.
Iowa Book, a one-of-a-kind bookstore.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. Subscription required. See website for full details and important safety information.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. And right now, get your first online visit totally free when you go to forhims.com/joy. Sure beats paying for an in-office doctor's appointment, doesn't it? Plus, you won't need to deal with awkward face-to-face conversations to get your prescription. Hims connects you to doctors online who can evaluate you and, if appropriate, prescribe the medication. And a pharmacy sends it right to your door. Hims makes it affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/joy. That's forhims.com/joy for your free online visit. forhims.com/joy.
Guys, waking up over and over to pee is not okay. But now, you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to pee at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying.
It's like taking 3 prostate supplements in one.
You can try a full 30-day bottle of P3 Advanced, free. Just pay shipping and handling. No strings attached, no obligations, and no commitments to buy. This is a 30-day supply, absolutely free.
Call 1-800-253-3660.
Super Beta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart.
But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now.
Call 1-800-253-3660.
Don't miss out on this unprecedented free offer.
Call 1-800-253-3660. 1-800-253-3660.
Welcome back in the final 5 minutes of the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you here on a chilly Tuesday evening in Eastern Iowa. Chilly actually sounds like it would be a decent dinner option tonight, except I already know what we're having when I get home. Maybe we'll put that on the menu later this week. No dinner for me tomorrow night. I'm going to be heading straight out the door and to Iowa City for Iowa and Rutgers. We will preview that contest for you a little bit closer tomorrow when local programming returns with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes. The Gym Class every day, Monday through Friday here on KGYM, brought to you by, well, us at KGYM. Scott and Mark returning to the airwaves tomorrow with Mark Ironside, the longtime Hawkeye color commentator for Iowa Wrestling Broadcasts, former Iowa great on the mat. More wrestling discussion headed your way, as well as, I'm sure, some thoughts from Scott and Mark about the Hall of Fame results. Derek Jeter and Larry Walker going into the halls of Cooperstown. Larry Walker just crossing the 75% threshold. Derek Jeter, one vote shy of being a unanimous selection for the Hall of Fame. Coming up on the program tomorrow, not only are we talking Hawkeye basketball, but Gary Rima and the UNI Panthers having a great season. Got to catch a little bit of the Bradley game on TV over the weekend. And as predicted with Gary, we got a UNI win to talk about. And things are looking good for the Panthers right now. Gary's going to be with us tomorrow at 4:30. We'll also bring you the latest edition of WagerWise, brought to you by the Elite Sportsbook and Riverside Casino and Golf Resort. Jake Reed of the Elite Sportsbook joining us on KGYM, a paid presentation every Wednesday here in a new time. Normally it was in the 6 o'clock hour. We will figure out where that will slot in. And second day, a little bit better than the first day as far as getting used to the new two-hour digs here on KGYM. And Alex, I don't want to speak for you, but we appreciate everybody's feedback. It's always nice to know that you want to hear more of us, but this is the new world order. This is it. You're not getting anything more. Maybe we do an extended edition podcast or something down the road, but this is it.
No, I'm happy with where things are going, and I think that we pretty much have things figured out and are ready to make this two-hour program as tight as I think that it can be.
There's no way Iowa State loses tonight, is there?
No way. I think there's a way. I just don't have much confidence in that team.
All-out Armageddon among the Iowa fan base if they lose to the only team in the Big 12 that doesn't have a win.
The fans are not happy with Steve Prohm right now. It would not be a fun Wednesday for that program if it happened. I don't think it will, but I'm not going to completely rule it out with the way that team's been shooting the basketball.
They got to knock down shots, and they got to protect the ball. I know it's basketball 101 seems pretty elementary, but they didn't do either one of those things in Lubbock, and they got beat by 20 points, got embarrassed in that 20-point loss. So they got to do that tonight, and at least for one night, things will feel okay among the Iowa State fan base. Iowa's got a big game tomorrow, taking on Rutgers. 5,000 tickets remaining for that 8 o'clock tip-off at Carver Hawkeye Arena, and we'll preview it for you on the show tomorrow. Steve Peichel and the Rutgers Scarlet Knights in the AP Top 25 for the first time in 40 seasons. Can they stick around with a victory over Iowa on the road, or will it be a short-lived Top 25 appearance? All that and another opportunity for you to take home a one-hour session inside Graduate Iowa City's Top Golf Swing Suite. Did you know you can get your swings in downtown Iowa City from the comfort of the heated indoor Top Golf swing suite. Details available on our website, kgymradio.com, but we'll have another one-hour pass for you to take off our hands tomorrow as we return to the KGYM studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. That will do it for tonight's program. A reminder, high school basketball on the way at 7:30 this evening, and heading your way in about 30 minutes on 1600 AM, John Walters, the play-by-play voice of the Iowa State Cyclones. Iowa State, Oklahoma State, 1600 AM. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Local programming returns tomorrow at 3 o'clock with Scott and Mark.
Guys, waking up over and over to pee is not okay. But now, you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to pee at night,